Welcome to the Small Caps Podcast, where we discuss news and information related to ASX-listed companies and financial markets, keeping investors informed. Note that the content in this podcast is not financial or investment advice, and be sure to head over to smallcaps.com.au to get the latest market news. Now, without further delay, here's today's podcast.
Welcome back to Small Caps. My name's Kerry Stevenson. Got a newbie on the block here, ladies and gentlemen. Recharge Metals, ASX code is REC, listing on the 11th of October, which is coming up. And it's very exciting because it's a copper project. Joining me today is Brett Wallace. He's the managing director. Brett, welcome to Small Caps. Great to see you. Now, Brett,
thank you very much.
Before we get into sort of the detail, just because we haven't spoken yet before on Small Caps. So give us the brief overview of who are Recharge Metals? What are you doing?
So Recharge is a newly formed company, and we have three projects. Firstly, at Bohemia Downs in the Kimberley region, which is prospective for copper, lead and zinc. Second project is at Hyden, which is prospective for copper, nickel and cobalt. And our third project and flagship project is the Brandy Hill South project, which is located just south of Deflector, Silver Lakes Deflector project, and that's prospective for copper and gold.
And are they're all over in WA, is that right?
All WA, yeah.
Okay, so you're listing on the 11th of October, which is very exciting. First of all, congratulations, because some people won't know. There's a lot of work that goes into putting this together. Just before we go into the specifics of each project, why these three projects? What's attracted you to these three under the Recharge Metals banner?
Initially, we were introduced to the Brandy Hill project through a third party.
And where's, sorry to interrupt you, where exactly is Brandy Hill?
Brandy Hill is located regionally is in the Yalgoo region of Western Australia, so probably 100 kilometres inland from Geraldton.
Okay.
We were introduced to that project, and actually before we'd even formed the company, we decided we'd put a bid in for it through Simon Andrews, the chairman, and myself. And basically we got a snapshot that we would be successful on our bid, so that we went and we formed Recharge back in early February, and then within 2 weeks we'd entered into the agreement for Brandy Hill, which was
that kind of cemented it, didn't it? It was like, okay.
Yeah. Well, it is such a good project, and it was a cash acquisition, so the terms of that were that we had a certain period of time to pay the cash in full. So we own Brandy Hill outright, even before it's not conditional upon listing. It's a wholly owned project already. And then we thought, well, we'd better add some projects to it to give the story a bit more of a backing and support. So then we went and pegged or applied for the projects at Bohemia ourselves. And through a vendor who was also involved in the introduction of Brandy Hill, they had a further project at Hyden, which we entered into. It has a two-part story to that part. There's an option agreement and a tenement sale agreement attached to the tenements at Hyden. So they were the three projects. They all had a copper focus, and Simon and I wanted to have probably more of a copper outlook for the company, given the demand and the price. Look forecast to keep going up. So we formed the company in February, and then everything came together very quickly. We got the project signed and mandated, and then from there we were busily getting the rest of the seed in the door and preparing the prospectus.
And here we are, ready to rock and roll. So I'm probably going to go backwards. Because I know that my understanding is Brandy Hill. There's a lot to talk about with Brandy Hill. There's three projects. Before I get started on that, just a bit of background on Simon and yourself and how you know each other and what your background is as to why you should be heading up this team, I guess.
So Simon is someone that I've known for a few years, and this is the first time we've actually really worked together. But Simon's got a background in as a corporate analyst with Hartleys and through work in Southeast Asia. He's also an environmental scientist and has got a background there as well. Felicity Rapitroli Muir is the other non-exec director. She's a geologist that I've known for best part of 15 years. She sits on a few other boards as a non-exec, has been an MD in her own right before, very good exploration and resource geologist. And Simon has also got experience of sitting on boards as well, either as an MD role or a non-exec. And with myself as a background of having a technical study geoscience, and I've subsequently studied law after that, so I have a legal and technical background. So we think those three different, I guess, blends complement each other very well on the board. There's just not three lawyers. There's just not three accountants. There's
Not good.
Three geologists. We've got a good spread of talent, I'd say. Yeah.
All righty. Now, I'm going to go backwards, all right, because I know I know Brandy Hill is potentially the flagship. So can we go backwards and can we start with Bohemia Downs? Whereabouts is it and what is it? What are you doing with it?
So Bohemia Downs is located just in the Kimberley region of Western Australia, and it's located just southeast of Fitzroy Crossing and just underneath the historic Kadjibup mining area, which was mined from lead and zinc back in the day. It's on along the same geological setting as Pilara and Kadjibup. Pilara is an existing mine and still going. We're on the same geological setting on the Leonard Shelf and along the Pinnacle Fault. And what attracted us to us was, one, it was vacant land, but also was the fact that it hadn't seemed to be properly explored for quite a while since MinCorp, for whatever reason, let the project go. But they'd actually carried out drilling at the project, had some really good numbers there with their lead and zinc and copper as well. And we just feel that it's something that if we can do a little bit of work too, it's something that can add to us down the track. So this is sort of a longer term view at Bohemia that we've taken, that it is a lot more grassroots than the other projects.
Okay. All right, so that's sitting within the company, but it's not the focus yet. So Hayden.
Hayden has been on my target area for a while. I have known about this project for quite a while, the Dragon Rocks prospect, for best part of 3 to 5 years. And I've always sort of tracked it and just to see where it's at. It's an area that I think it's very prospective for copper nickel. It's very similar in analogy to the Forrestania nickel copper belt, which is only 70 kilometres away. Okay. And it just hasn't had the exploration done there that could really turn it into something good. It's a very large land holding that we have there.
How large?
500 square kilometres.
Oh, okay. Of
land holding. So there's a lot to work with, but there is a big magnetic anomaly running through the tenements, which we will want to go back and get geophysics completed at the first part, and then get some targeted drilling from that. There's some other things happening within the tenement block as well. There's some intrusions running in there, pegmatites and a graphite anomaly as well. So we want to have a bit of a look at those, but really the main focus is the copper nickel prospectivity.
So how much, to date, how much work has been done on this ground? Very little,
or how much
have you guys done?
Well, we've really just reprocessed the data, and I've been out and walked the ground and seen what's happened out there. It's primarily pastoral land, farming land, but the pastoralists are very pro mining, but they're not opposed to what we're doing there, which is a good thing.
Is it one landholder, or have you got a number of landholders?
There are a few landholders spread over the entire two tenements that form Hayden, but we're dealing on the main tenement, which is the southern tenement, which is subject to the option agreement, is that has three or four landholders attached to that.
Okay. All right. So there's not been a lot of work done out there, but your instinct is telling you take that, a closer
look. Right. There has been drilling, and the drilling results I would say more than encouraging. There's more than a sniff there, as basically I would describe. There's been some good results. There's over, you know, if you're talking percentages, there's over 1.3% copper results, over 1.5% nickel results, up to a percent cobalt. So there's a lot to work with.
Okay, and those results, is that just shallow drilling or what sort of
shallow drilling? Yeah, we're talking in the first 80 meters that those results have come through. So there hasn't been deep drilling. It hasn't been a really, I would describe, a proper drilling program run through. It's just sort of been targeted drilling across the lines. Yeah.
And has that that data that you reprocessed, did that bring up anything new for you? Was that good for you to have a look at and go, oh yeah?
It was good to go through the process, but really it needs more done. We probably need to get back out there with another geophysics study immediately after we exercise the option, and that will give us some real targeted drilling targets, so to speak, and other things that we want to do. So the geophysics will dictate drilling, but we'll also run some probably auger programs as well across the.
Okay, so that's a bit, but there's a little bit of work to do around that before you can get started. Brandy Hill, the one that I think, what I've spoken to you before, Brett, this is the one that puts the stars in your eyes a little bit.
It does. We worked pretty hard to get it. And we were successful in bidding against four or five other companies to win it. So
well done.
We went pretty hard to get it, and we were successful in getting it. It's basically the building block of the whole company, really, is Brandy.
Wow.
That basis that the company formed.
Okay, well, on that basis, I'm going to spend a bit more time on Brandy Hill. Talk to me about it. You said it's 100 kilometres inland from Geraldton. What excites you about this project, and why are you saying that this is the company, I guess, flagship?
Well, the results that they had done through the drilling that we received were really, there was a lot to work with, even though there's poor coverage of the drilling. But with the main hole that we looked at, we had a 70 metre intersection of just over 0.5% copper. But within that, there was 30 metres at 1.3% copper. So plus some associated gold and silver numbers as well. But
okay, sorry to interrupt you. For those that don't know, those numbers sound quite low, but in copper terms, just explain to our listeners, because not everybody is a geologist out there, why those numbers are exciting for you.
Okay, so copper is an associated. You can have, it can be a lower grade, let's say 0.5% copper, but if you have high tonnages, then it makes the project economic.
Yep.
The higher the grade from there is just a bonus, really. So, for instance, there's some projects out there that operate, have large tonnages and are less than 0.5% that are economic in mining. Other projects are probably more around the 1% copper cutoff. And so that's kind of what we're targeting. We're targeting that range between 0.5% up. And we've seen those. We've got a big intersection of 70 metres of that, so it gives us a lot of confidence from that one hole. And there's other holes in the area along strike that have also got decent intersections of 20 metres or 12 metres or whatever. It just seems that they haven't quite met what they're doing. The drilling's been very sporadic to date. They've had a few RC holes done by the vendor that we acquired it off. Before them, there were a few RC holes. Before them, and before that, it was air core. And there hasn't been a lot of consistency with the drilling. So that's what we're...
Okay, I got to ask, from an investor point of view, looking at it, you say, okay, you now own this 100%. You seem pretty excited about it. Why did the vendors get rid of it if it could potentially deliver something pretty interesting?
Well, the vendors aren't necessarily an explorer or developer. They're not. They're not in the business of doing large scale exploration and development. Not that they're a serial flipper of projects either. They just seem to like to work projects up and then move them on. So. They weren't in it to list on the asset. They were just looking to give it a bit of increase in value and then shift it on. So
okay, that makes sense. And so with this Brandy Hill, it's 100 kilometres inland from Geraldton, good sniffs of copper. Is it purely a copper play or are there...
No, copper gold. The Deflector mine, which is located 20 kilometres to north, is a copper gold mine. And I think they've been in operation for a few years now.
That's Silver Lake Resources, is that right?
Yeah, Silver Lake Resources, yeah. Okay. And I think they've still got resources of about 600,000 ounces and of gold. And I'd need to check on the how many tonnages of copper they've got, but it's a significant copper gold resource that they've got there. And we're effectively along strike south of that.
Same sort of structure?
It's the same structure. Yeah, we follow along the what's referred to as the Salt Creek Shear, which is a shear that runs through the entire it runs in a north-south direction and it runs through our entire tenement, and to the north it runs up through to Deflector's project as well.
Why wouldn't Silver Lake have come out and gone, you know, let's grab this now because we're not, you know, we're mining and, you know.
Maybe they did put a bid in, I'm not sure. But the ground was dropped several years ago. Bounty and Mutiny had it, and Bounty and Mutiny, I think, is got taken over by Silver Lake.
I think so. Look, I get confused.
And then it was picked up by some other parties. IGO had it for a time, and then Revolution. Oh, sorry, Pure Rich, who we acquired it through. You'll need to ask them. But if you've got a massive land holding like some of these bigger groups do, they have to drop would be referred to as non-core. If they go through cycles of not being able to do exploration or expenditure or not being able to put as much into the ground as you'd like, you've got to focus on your main project. So, I mean, I understand that, but that's just economics of how it works.
Okay, so on listing on the 11th of October, talk to us about the news flow, because I want to understand from an investor point of view, the curious of like the money lands in the bank, you're listed, you're ready to go. Brett, are you going to be, you know, reprocessing some data or are you going to start drilling? Talk to me about the rest of October.
We've already have an approved POW plan for Brandy Hill for drilling program. The drill rig is ready to go. So shortly after listing, we'll be on the ground drilling. So that will be the news flow straight away. Okay. And then straight after that program of the drilling program, we'll be following up with, there'll be downhole electromagnetic surveys done at the completion of the drilling. But then we have another geophysics program planned in January. And that will be dictated to by the drilling results, whether we go for a VTEM study or if it's an IP study. It just depends on the nature of the sulfide of the ore.
How easy is it to get from, and this is where we're going to have to, 4413, are you back?
I'm back, yeah.
Oh, yeah, you've completely froze. Completely froze. How easy is it to get to the project site and for you to get up there and get the rig there and all that sort of stuff?
Access is great. Yeah, so there's existing roads and tracks into the site, and there's existing grid lines that are already there for drilling. So we don't need to do really any work other than preparing a few sumps for the RC holes.
So you've got the plans. Brandy Hill's first cab off the rank, but that's the one that you actually think could be delivering some exciting news going forward. Brett, I always ask my interviews these, so get ready. We've got a big investor audience out there. There's a lot of companies that are listing at the moment. I do like copper. I'm a copper gold kind of gal, so I like the fact that you're focused on copper, because we all know with the EV revolution that copper is in short supply and will continue to be. Before I do my final question, what's your view on the copper and the supply demand? And, you know, I know you're focused on it. Do you see the price staying strong? And is that why you're focused on copper as a commodity?
The forecast is looking, and the demand and the forecast price is just looking to be stronger over the next 5 to 10 years. And it's not only just demand for copper generally, but specifically for clean energy technology. They're forecasting a lot of demand for that, for whether it's vehicles, solar energy, the amount of copper that's required just for those types of technologies is significant for each one of them, but also just generally as a commodity, just for what's required just in IT and computers and the,
well, even you and I, even you and I chatting today, we've got to have that copper fiber network, don't we? And
yeah, that's right. I mean, for cars, just for your normal car, you use 60 kilograms of copper just in that. If it goes into an EV car, it jumps up. Oh, sorry, it's the other way around. About 60 kilometres for an EV car. A conventional car is 20 kilograms. So you've got a significant increase straight away. And then you look at the solar technology and you look at wind technology and all these things, and copper is required for all of those. So, but it's not just the clean technology industry that you use copper in. It's everything, and the demand just seems to be increasing for it and forecast to go up for the next 5-10 years. So by then, hopefully, we have a resource, and we're putting in that resource into development. And we're.
I like the way you're thinking. I like that longer term. I like that sort of, you know, we're going from exploration to development into production. I like that, Brett. I'll be coming back to you on that one. Brett, we're running out of time. I've got to ask you these questions. It's my three. It's because it's an investor audience out there. What do you think is a why should people be sitting up and looking at Recharge Metals?
Well, we're about to list. We're listing on the 11th, and we're drilling, and we're ready to go with our drilling. That would be the first one. Secondly, we've done a lot of work pre-listing on reprocessing some data, particularly at Brandy Hill, and we've identified the targets we want to hit. We know where we want to be drilling.
Okay.
And thirdly, there's a real potential for a copper discovery at Brandy Hill. And that's not even taking into account the upside of the other on our other projects. This is just focusing purely on Brandy Hill. There's a real potential there for discovery, and that's not even looking at the upside of the other two project areas. So that would be the three reasons.
Well, there you go, ladies and gentlemen. There you got it. Brandy Hill is a focus, potential company maker, could be a discovery. Do your own research. But as Brett just said, he's got also plenty of exploration upside there as well. So we'll be watching with keen interest. And I wish you all the best for the upcoming listing on Monday. And as I said right at the start, the ASX code, ladies and gentlemen, is REC. Check them out now. Brett Wallace, Managing Director of Recharge Metals, thanks for joining me at Small Caps today.
Thank you very much. Appreciate your time. Thank you.